This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gone are my blues and gone are my tears. I've got good news to shout in your ears. The long-lost dollar has come back to the fold. With silver you can turn your dreams to gold. Oh, we're in the money, we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money, the sky is sunny. You are through, you done us wrong, oh. We never see headline about red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. Oh, we're in the money, come on, my honey. Let's lend it, spend it, send it rolling around.
We're in the money, I think we're in the money.
Oh, yeah, we're in the money. I mean, look at this. Look at this country of ours. We're spending money left and right. Aren't we about to spend about $2 trillion? Pass it out. Come on, everybody. Get your hands out. Here we go. $2 trillion coming your way. It's easy to spend it. You know why? Not mine. It belongs to somebody else. Anyway, good morning. And welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner, Big Ed Davis, it is Tuesday, February the 16th already, and we thank you for being with us. We will be talking in a few minutes with Rachel Gresler of the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk about the unintended consequences of a $15 minimum wage. What will actually happen to people? Stay tuned for that. And while Cuomo in New York and Newsom in California fight to keep their governor jobs, Ron DeSantis here in Florida is rolling along. He's keeping the Sunshine State businesses open. Things are looking pretty good. We're wearing masks. Yes, we are. But why are we in California with two totally different approaches? California being a closed state, Florida being an open state. Why are our COVID numbers the same, basically? We'll talk about that. Get some thoughts on it with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceraci. Stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And is it Donald Trump's fault or Nancy Pelosi's fault that the Capitol building security was breached? Who is really to blame for that? Well, now many think it was Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and we're going to take a look at it, so stay tuned for that. And since we're talking about the minimum wage today and in our ultimate top 10, we're going to talk about it even more, the top 10 states with the lowest minimum wage. Stay tuned for that as well. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best hair cutter for men in the Tampa Bay area. I don't think he's ever cut, maybe he's cut women's hair. I've never seen him do it. But you know what? Hair, is it not? Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. And all you got to do is call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. You will get a great haircut. You will get it at a great price. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. And never forget to listen to Good Morning Clearwater. Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m., it precedes our show, and Paul and Tracy Allen, what a job they do. Good Morning Clearwater. All right, well, all kinds of things going on right now. One thing they're trying to do is they're trying to pass a $1.9 trillion stimulus package. Now, who's getting stimulated? Members of Congress have signaled a renewed focus on Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus plan after the conclusion of the ridiculous impeachment trial of former President Trump. Biden will be in Milwaukee today. He's expected to try and sell his stimulus plan there. Right now, there's a little bump in the road. It's the minimum wage provision. He wants to keep it in there. He wants to sneak it through. You know, raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Forget about what states do. We know better. We know what you should be paid. So what we'll do is we'll take an eraser to any state that doesn't at least pay $15 per hour minimum wage. We'll erase their intentions because we are the federal government and we know better about what you are doing in your particular state when it comes to pay. We should get the same people in Wyoming the same pay as those in New York City, right? Because the dollar is the same everywhere. No, it's not. The cost of living changes from state to state, in some cases, from city to city. But there he is in Milwaukee, and he'll be out there with his teleprompter somewhere. I hope if he's standing outside, you know, it's going to be cold there in Milwaukee. I hope his teleprompter doesn't freeze. Because if his teleprompter freezes, what would he do, you know? I've never seen Biden ever, maybe he's done it a couple of times, speak off the record. Doesn't he always have something in front of him to read? I mean, with at least with Trump, you knew that you were getting somebody that's talking right at the moment. Has Biden done that recently? I guess he must have some at some point. Then they have to kind of scurry him away from the microphone, don't they? You kind of have to worry about him then. Anyway, so Biden will try to make his case about the importance of maintaining economic support during the COVID. He's expected to talk about the need to make investments to strengthen our collective competitiveness and the importance of updating global rules to tackle economics challenges such as those posed by China. I'm sure that Biden is the right guy to deal with China. After all, he and his son have been apparently getting some sort of an investment deal going in China, so he must know something about China. Last week, Biden reportedly said that if the U.S. fails to invest in its infrastructure, China will eat our lunch. I remember when he was running for president, he said the exact opposite about China. He said, come on, man, when it came to whether or not China was a threat to the United States economically. You remember that? Come on, man. Why is it that he's changed his tune? I guess they've changed the wording on his teleprompter. That's why he's changed his tune. What else has he said? Here's Bloomberg says Biden could face serious challenges to gain any Republican support for his $15 per hour minimum wage requirement. He's got a couple of people standing in the way, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, both Democrats, are standing in the way of that $15 an hour. I'm telling you, Joe Manchin and I guess Kyrsten Sinema are becoming very important. They can be swing votes, kind of like John Roberts in the Supreme Court. They become so important because you don't know which way they will vote on certain things, especially when it comes to economics. You know, Manchin realizes that he's got a lot of blue-collar Democrats in West Virginia that would not vote for him if he turns too far left. So that's why you see him doing that. He's also against increasing the number of judges in the Supreme Court. He's come out and basically said that as well. So anyway, here they go trying to pass this stimulus plan. It'll be interesting to see if they get it through. And what we're going to do now, take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the prospect of a $15 per hour minimum wage getting passed by the Congress.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. And we're delighted to have Rachel Gressler rejoining us. She is a senior policy analyst at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with her about the unintended consequences of a $15 federal minimum wage. Rachel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. This is one of the most interesting topics I think that we can do on the show. The idea of raising arbitrarily the amount of money that people make. I mean, first of all, whether or not the federal government should even have the authority to be able to do that, much less raising it to a certain level. But you say that basically, raising it to $15 would generate a cascade of unintended consequences. Could you possibly elaborate on that?
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head there with calling it an arbitrary increase, because the reality here is that we all want people to have higher incomes, but the way that people's incomes raise is by producing more things of value. The government can't do that through a minimum wage increase. All they can do is redistribute income, and that's what would end up happening here. So this is really just a naive proposal attempting to jump on the populist bandwagon here and say, we're going to increase your incomes, but not acknowledging that that's going to cause millions of people to lose their jobs. It's going to cause every American's prices to increase. It's going to cause some jobs to be gone permanently because they'll be automated or they'll be shifted overseas. And it's especially going to hurt smaller businesses who tend to employ lower income workers and don't have the capital to invest in the technology to turn low wage jobs into automated ones.
You know, I think this is such an important thing to think about, the unintended consequences. And you've mentioned in this piece too, or in this piece that I've read about nursing home, child care bills, everything goes up. And I guess if you were to say, rather than, you know, when you hear the thing, well, we're only going to raise it like $1.20, or we're going to only raise 75 cents, or whatever the argument is at the moment when they're raising the minimum wage somewhere, I always think, well, rather than, why pay people only $15 if that's your theory? Why not everybody get paid $100 an hour? Won't that get us out of poverty? Let's all, everybody get $100 an hour minimum.
Well, that's exactly the point.
Yeah, and then they'll say, well, you can't do that. And I'd say, of course you can't do that. But if you're going to raise
right,
it at all, why stop at 15 bucks? I say we go for 100.
Right, and I don't think that policymakers are recognizing this is a local issue. You know, $15 per hour in Mississippi, that would be like a $36 minimum wage in D.C., where we have these lawmakers sitting there and deciding if they're going to impose a one-size-fits-all mandate
exactly.
on the entire U.S.
Exactly. That is exactly right. Rachel, is there any chance that this COVID-19 stimulus package will include the minimum wage?
Well, they're working hard to try and get in there. You know, I think there are some key players, as you mentioned, Kyrsten Sinema, Joe Manchin, a couple on the House side that might not support this. And it could potentially come down to Vice President Kamala Harris, whether or not she might overturn the parliamentarian to try and get this included in the so-called COVID relief package. But that's really just so ironic when you look at, we have restaurants and retailers in the hotel industry who have already cut their employment by 20 to 30% over the last year. They are struggling to stay afloat. And now we're talking about throwing them a load of bricks instead of a lifesaver.
Exactly.
With a $15 federal minimum wage. I mean, this is just going to destroy them. We had some small business owners, restaurants, even one who supported Biden has served him in her restaurant. And she had an article in the Wall Street Journal saying, Mr. President, this will kill my business if you implement this. So it's just, you know, it's such a naive proposal. And I think it's really actually negligent that policymakers would be talking about this as though they have the ability to increase incomes without consequence.
You know, it's more than negligent. I think they're intentionally doing it. I hate to be so cynical about it, but they know that it's going to hurt small businesses. They know in particular right now, when businesses are struggling to get people to come in and keep their doors open, they know that. So my question is, why are they doing it knowing that? What is their purpose? Who are they kowtowing to? Is it the unions? Is it some?
It is exactly the unions.
Even during a pandemic.
What people don't realize about this is that you cover it behind, oh, we want higher incomes, we want everyone to have a living wage. But the reality is this is driven by the unions, and they're trying to suppress their competition. You know, most of them already have a $15 per hour minimum wage or close to it. And so they want to drive out the smaller guys. They want to get everybody into a type of job where it's more easy to unionize those workers. And it's not easy to unionize small business owners.
You know, I never thought of that, that they're actually trying to drive out small businesses. So the unions pay all of these big dollars to the Democratic Party. Is that the same? Not that it's your bailiwick, but is that the same logic as the Democrats not coming to, you know, wanting to reopen schools because of the teachers' unions too? Or is it a different track? You know what I mean? I don't understand. Why are they so beholden to the unions? Is it money that is being sent into their wallets? Is that really what it's all about?
I think sadly it is. I mean, there's just really this undue influence from unions because they spend billions of dollars, and 98% of that goes toward Democratic candidates. And you've had people like AFL-CIO President Trump out there, when there's been pro-union legislation out there, issuing these quid pro quo threats to lawmakers saying, if you don't vote for this bill, don't expect a dollar or a door knock from us. And that just shows the type of power they have to get policymakers to enact laws that they know will hurt their constituents because they will actually help get them reelected through that union money.
Indeed. We're talking with Rachel Gresler. She is the senior policy analyst at the Great Heritage Foundation. And Rachel, I know this kind of thing keeps you busy. I read here that the New York Times says that Joni Ernst, she's a Republican senator from Iowa, issued a proposal. It passed a voice vote in the Senate. It would prohibit a minimum wage increase during the pandemic. And apparently, at least two Democrats, the ones we alluded to, Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, have said they would not back the wage increase. So does that mean that they're not going to get it through to Joe Biden's desk, do you think? It looks pretty good that they might not.
I think there's a good possibility that it won't go through, but nevertheless, they're going to keep pushing for this. And I think it's going to become an issue of what types of adjustments might they be able to make to the bill in order to get enough support to pass it. You know, but Joni Ernst is living there in Iowa, and that's just a perfect example of the undue consequences that it would cause for lower cost of living areas. This report I had out last week on the impact of childcare costs, this is something that I don't think a lot of people have thought about, is most families are already struggling to find affordable childcare in the U.S. And a $15 minimum wage would increase childcare costs by 21% across the U.S. But certain places are disproportionate. Mississippi would be 43%. The average family with two kids in Iowa would pay over $6,000 per year more for childcare with a $15 per hour minimum wage. So this just starts getting a hint of all the unintended consequences. I think that this is really going to backfire on those policymakers.
I would think so, too.
And it's a lot.
Yeah, you're right.
It's harder to back off from a federal policy than it is from a state or a local increase. We already saw in Virginia, Governor Northam said, hey, I don't want to increase the minimum wage during a pandemic. I'm delaying our planned increase. That makes sense.
Indeed, it does. And later on in the show, towards the end of the show, we're going to do the lowest minimum wage states. And I don't want to give it away. But let me tell you something. The lowest minimum wage state is almost one-third of the minimum wage of Washington, D.C. One-third. I mean, that's the difference. That's the disparity. And it's not and that particular, these minimum wage states are, let's just put it this way, they have a lower cost of living, you know? So they know a little
right,
bit more.
They have more opportunities.
Yes, exactly. And they're both, by the way, they're right-to-work states. I'll tell you that. There's two of them that are tied for the lowest minimum wage. But so, and their unemployment rates are great. So,
yeah,
you know, in comparison, I mean, isn't that funny?
That have, you know, lower minimum wages, it doesn't mean that everybody's making that wage. It just means that there is an opportunity for workers who have never stepped foot in a job before, those who might have a disability, maybe they have a criminal record. It's that bottom rung of the ladder that gives them an opportunity to get the experience and the education that will allow them to climb the income ladder and have higher incomes in the long term. And it's not minimum wages that cause people's incomes to increase. We saw between 2016 and 2019, when we had reduced regulations on businesses and lower taxes that gave them more resources to invest in their workers, the lowest 10 percentile of workers saw a 14.6% increase in their wages over just 3 years. And that's because businesses were investing in them and the workers themselves were creating more value. And that feels a lot better to have created that value than to have taken that value of forms of an income from somebody who's lost their job.
Exactly. I can relate from a personal experience that using a minimum wage could stifle the chance to get into the market. When I was coming out of college, there were internships. I had a journalism degree. And I was able to get to a fairly well-known radio station and work for them. And I was working for less than what the regular employees were working for. Certainly well under any kind of a minimum wage we're talking about these days. But I got educated there. I learned how to do things. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity. What if there had been a federal minimum wage like that, you know, at that particular radio station? Why would they want to hire me when I didn't know anything? And they would be busy trying to train me. And they're going to pay me the same amount they're, you know, paying other people, which, of course, would make them those people resentful. Here's a stupid kid out of college, and look what he's getting paid. And he doesn't know a damn thing about this business. You know, that's this is what's so insidious about this.
Right, and I don't think that a lot of people realize the history of the minimum wage in the U.S. is that this was implemented to take jobs away from African Americans and from women so that they could go to white men. It was a way to drive them out.
No kidding. Way back? Mm-hmm. I did not know that myself.
It was the unions that first came in and negotiated on the railroad.
To keep women out of the jobs.
Minimum wage here.
Yes.
To drive out the African American laborers.
You know, that is really interesting. Of course, you'll not see anything about that in the liberal press, will you?
No.
My goodness me. So here we are in the pandemic, and we've got this kind of a push. You would think that people around the country would wake up and say, no, this is not the right time to do it. It's kind of, in my opinion, it's kind of like the illegal immigration issue with the COVID. Of all times to allow borders to be open and people pouring in when we've got a disease that we're trying to deal with, right? I mean, of all time, it's the same thing with the minimum wage. All these businesses trying desperately to stay open and they want to raise their cost. What are we doing?
Well, it just shows that the reality of this so-called COVID relief package has almost nothing to do with COVID, and it's really just a compilation of Democrats' wish list items that they're throwing in there and tacking on the name of COVID relief.
You are so right, Rachel. Well, you keep up the good fight. We need people like you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you and the Heritage Foundation to get the word out on all this. We need to be more educated about all this kind of stuff. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation. We are going to take our break, and when we come back, while Cuomo in New York, Newsom in California, fighting to keep their governor jobs, Here's Ron DeSantis rolling along in Florida. We got businesses open. Going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And delighted to be with you. If you're a first-time listener, Freedom Works is on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And we are delighted to be here. Well, this is really commonsensical. The House Democrat campaign arm has hired an ex-gangster turned high-profile criminal justice advocate for a top leadership position. The Congressional Campaign Committee for the Democrats tapped a guy by the name of Dewan Tatro as the senior advisor for diversity and inclusion. I think this is terrific. He was known for appearing in a documentary called College Behind Bars. It was about a group of inmates trying to get their degrees through the prison initiative. he had been doing time for shooting. This isn't funny, but for shooting two rival gang members in 2006. And also, he served time for racketeering and conspiracy. So those are the kind of people, I guess, that we're putting inside Democratic committees. Now, in the meantime, here is California. They have one of the strictest rules in the nation when it comes to the COVID and businesses. And then we got Florida, and we have one of the most open. And if you take a look at the numbers and the ratio of people getting the disease and all the other things, we're just about exactly the same. So whatever we... whatever Newsom is doing is not making a doggone bit of difference. We brought the proprietor of the barber pole in, and Ron DeSantis is letting us all, you know, keep our jobs, basically, Andrew. Whereas Newsom, who's about to be recalled, by the way, is not.
You know, Paul, I believe right now you're seeing the fall of the Democrat Party. One at a time.
Yes.
They're falling. You look at Cuomo, you look at Newsom. Now they're going to go after Ann Pelosi.
Nancy is about to
part in the Capitol because she was supposed to be in charge of security.
We're going to be talking about that later.
Who wanted to see it so he can get rid of Trump. Paul, there's nothing but criminals in our government, Paul.
Yeah, I think people are starting to see it. Now that the dust has settled on all of this Trump impeachment and, you know, the fog that the liberals were creating with Trump, the fog was kind of masquerading all of, or, you know, blocking all of the other things that were going on. It's the same old story, you know. Let's focus on Trump so you don't know what we're doing, really, you know?
You know, Paul, You got our economy falling apart with Biden. You got the Chinese building islands in the South China Sea, building up their military like no tomorrow. You got Joe Biden letting the Chinese come in and work on our grid. Okay?
Wow.
And all they're worried about is the equal rights and Black Lives Matters and diversity. They need to get a grip. Let's all be American. Okay, forget about if you're gay, you're black, who cares? Mm-hmm. We're American, you're watching your country fall apart.
You make a good point, and I think you're right. Well, our country is coming apart at the seams. And we don't, it's the same old story, you know, just like the Roman Empire. It's coming apart from within, and we don't even seem to realize it, you know?
That's it, and you know, Paul, it's like I told everybody. It took 700 years for the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. And what destroyed it? Greed, corruption. Okay, it was terrible. And what's happening here? We're proving that we're better than anybody because we're going to do it in half the time.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, it took them 500 plus years. We're doing it less than that, less than half of that.
Half the time, buddy.
So,
I mean, if people need to get a grip here. Like I said, you can see one at a time with these Democrats what's going on. And they're going to be falling one at a time. My two customers, my first one this morning, were both pastors. And I asked them for a favor. I said, you know, pastors, I says, can't you put in a good word? Just a couple lightning bolts into the Capitol when they're all in session. I'm not asking for them to part the Caesar. Just a couple little lightning bolts.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I do know. You know the thing?
But Paul, people got to realize what's going on here. Biden's a fool. Has no clue what's going on. There's more Biden remorse going on than you would ever dreamed of was going to happen. Okay? And now you're going to see, and look, they want to keep Trump in the news because now that this impeachment's over, oh, now we're going to go after him in New York and we're going after him in Georgia. If they don't have Trump, they got no news because what are they going to talk about? Diversity all the time?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Now that the press is finally starting to turn on Governor Cuomo in New York, and like you say, when Trump was there, Cuomo was the darling. Cuomo was an altar boy guarding the altar. You know?
Well, you're going to see these altar boys tripping off the altar one at a time, I believe.
Yeah.
And you know, look at, you know, Cuomo made me laugh because his whole time through this COVID thing was in competition with Ron DeSantis. You know that.
It seemed like it.
Okay, there's no question in my mind about it. That's why he altered his COVID deaths, okay? And people better realize, Paul, this whole COVID thing is fading out.
Well,
people are tired of it.
You're an ex-New York Stater. Is Cuomo's job really in jeopardy? Is he going to last? What's going to happen to him?
I think they're going to dig a hole, make his head stick up, and stone him to death.
You know, that would be a great visual now that I'm thinking about that.
Paul, people are getting fed up with this, Paul.
Yeah.
All over the place. I don't care if you're a Democrat. The Democrats are even turning on Cuomo.
It seems like. In the meantime, here we are with our businesses pretty much open in Florida. I mean, we're wearing our masks and, you know, trying to follow the rules and everything. I think common sense is applied more here in our state, it seems to me.
Paul, one thing I've learned about common sense, everybody has their own opinion about common sense.
I guess they do.
You know, when I was a kid, you looked at the owner's manual of a car when you bought a new car, and the owner's manual told you how to adjust the lifters, how to adjust the rocker arms. Now it sits there and says, don't drink the battery fluid.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Common sense is gone.
Common sense. But common sense to me is totally different than common sense to a liberal.
You're right. You know, getting back to the idea that we are rotting from within rather than being attacked from without, the common denominator and the thing that is the most insidious of our faults in this is apathy. I mean, not people like you and others that stand up and make themselves heard, but the 90% of the people that go, well, I don't want to make any waves, you know, and I just let it kind of go by. And well, that's exactly what happened to Rome. You know,
what's happening here, Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think the people are starting to get a little wiser. I mean, walls don't work, but Pelosi put around the Capitol, didn't she?
Indeed, she did.
And it was okay. And now you got the brain dead Biden wants to put travel restrictions to the state of Florida, but let's let all the illegals walk across the southern border with all their disease. And people know this makes.
Well, they do, but are they making? In a way, and you talk about this a great deal, and I think it's entirely right. People do have to rise up. They do have to kind of scare these politicians straight. You know what I mean? Scare them straight, so that they'll be honest with us and say, "What are you doing? Allowing all of these people coming in the southern border? We got a huge pandemic going on. You're going to allow anybody in, and then you make some stupid restriction for the state of Florida that has nothing to really do with any kind of logic."
You know, Paul, what else I want to know? How come we don't hear about all the other countries falling apart with COVID now? Only America. What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, we never hear anything. First of all, we know we're not going to get the straight story from places like China or Russia, right? We're not going to get the straight story from them anyway.
Well, we don't get the straight story from our own government.
That's true, too. Look at New York.
Okay, we don't get no straight story. And this is what the downfall of this country is. You got the media backing them. The deep state is deeper than we think. The Republican and the Democrat Party are both involved. Look at Bill Barr. Look at McConnell. Come on. They're all dirtbags. That's why I keep telling you it's time for the people to stick together, and they are. Look at the rally in Palm Beach yesterday for Trump alone.
Just going to bring that up. They haven't forgotten, the kind of job he did, and they had a picture of all the people lining the street as his limo drove by.
That's it, Paul. People.
He is. So what do you think? In 4 years, is it going to be a Trump-DeSantis ticket, or is Pence coming back? Will it be a Pence-DeSantis ticket? Will it be a DeSantis Cerasi ticket? I want to know what's going to happen.
Paul, first of all, this country's not going to last 4 years of this baloney. You're going to see a bunch of things going on way before that. I think this summer, when it gets hot out, things are going to heat up, Paul.
From the right or from the left or from both?
I think you're going to see American people banding together. I don't know how big the left is going to be, but I think there's going to be a really big right. But then again, it's like I told you, as far as the politicians go, the left wing and the right wing are attached to the same bird. That's why we need to have this Patriot Party to join the American people together and get rid of both of them.
Yeah. I wish there was a way we could kind of start over with all of that, you know, get them all out.
The only way, Paul, is to get this other party going. And the Trump people are sticking together. And you're seeing people leave the Democrat Party. People are already left the Republican Party. I guarantee you. When they hold their hands out for donations here, forget about it. They're getting nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to see this happen, Paul.
I want to touch on something I didn't get a chance to read on one of my earlier shows about the, that big deal in Minneapolis to defund the police, and then the city council voted to okay. It is really backfired on them, and now their crime has gone up, and the city council has voted unanimously to approve over $6 million in additional funding because all kinds of their police quit under the protested what they were doing in Minneapolis and the nonsense and pulling the rug financially out from under them. So now their crime has gone up, and they're all running around like scared rabbits, you know, the city council members. And now they're gonna fund it. Now they're going to add police. I mean, we knew that to begin with.
You know, Paul, I hope nobody goes for the job. They need to bring Ilhan Omar in as the police chief. Let her handle it all.
Right. That'll do it.
Nobody, they're going to get no applicants for their job. I don't care what they pay.
Yeah.
Unless they get the guy that the Democrats just put in, get a bunch of his gang members, and put them in as the police.
I don't think I'd ever want to be a policeman right now.
You got to be crazy.
You really do. Because if you dare do the right thing, let's say in an inner city neighborhood, can you imagine them coming after you for doing it?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Well, they can't get police. They can't hire police. And that's good. Let their cities burn down. Let the women be raped. Let the murders go. That's how they're going to learn a lesson, Paul. People are stupid.
I'm reminded of the preacher in Blazing Saddles. He got up there to do a sermon, and he said, "What is this town coming to? Are women being stolen? Are cattle raped?" He got a little confused, but I thought it was kind of an interesting.
Well, that'll be happening too.
You never know.
That'll be happening too.
Oh, goodness. Well, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, Master Barber. And even though I know you're a little worried, and we all are, I think you always talk about promises ahead if we do the right thing. So thank you, and we'll be back together talking about...
You know what, Paul?
What's that?
I'm not as worried as you think, because I have a lot of faith in God. And I'm waiting for those lightning bolts. I put in a request.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'll tell you what, if you did, I bet he might be listening. I don't think
you got it,
I think I'll stay out of the town of D.C. for a while until this occurs.
You got it.
Thanks so
much.
You
have a good day.
All right, Andrew. There he is, the Master Barber. Well, you know, he makes a lot of sense about the way things are going right now. And we've never really experienced, you know, it's kind of like a double whammy, isn't it? We got the coronavirus, and we got all of these things going on with the way our government is reacting to everything and the division between left and right and the whole bit. So it's kind of a very tenuous time. All right, let us take our final break. When we come back, is Nancy Pelosi really at fault? Is that the reason that our security was breached at the Capitol building? We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Freedom Works. We come to you Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. But if you can't listen to us live, hey, you know, you might be at work at 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So why don't you come home later on and listen to us anyway? Because you can. Big Ed has put all of our programs on podcast. All you've got to do is go to ourfreedomworks.com and look up at the top. You'll see the podcast button. Click on that. Up comes our shows. Thanks to Big Ed. I've always appreciated him doing it. Well, on the way into the studio this morning, as I was passing the Good Morning Clearwater crew, Tracy Allen handed me a letter from the former chief of police of the United States Capitol. And it was a letter sent to Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House. And it talks about the things that went on and the requests that had been made by the Capitol Police, all for naught. In fact, Nancy Pelosi's office has pushed back on questions about the Capitol Security. You got to remember that the Capitol security falls under the domain of the Speaker of the House. as much as they might try to shirk that responsibility. So a number of Republicans are demanding answers regarding the decisions that were made leading up to and on Insurrection Day. The Republicans, in a letter to Pelosi, questioned when then-Chief Sonne, the one that wrote his own letter to Pelosi, that when Chief Sonne made a request for National Guard support January the 4th, that's 2 days before the insurrection, when they made the request on January 4th, they asked, why was the request denied? Why was that security request denied? They knew there was going to be a lot of people that were going to be there listening to Donald Trump talk about the election. They asked, did the sergeant-at-arms get permission or instruction from you to deny Chief Sonne's request? That's a good question, isn't it? Well, this is what's going on. Of course, the Pelosi is deflecting this. In fact, she says, Nancy Pelosi's office says that Republicans are, quote, clearly trying to deflect responsibility for the Capitol attack from Donald Trump. See what I mean? But it's Nancy Pelosi that's deflecting the responsibility. It's Nancy Pelosi. So here we are, and isn't it going to be kind of a fine, whatever you want to call it, if Nancy Pelosi ends up being looked at as the person responsible for the reason that all of this happened, when they could have done a lot more had they been prepared? There you go. It's called dropping the ball.
I think what Nancy needs is Dr. Phil. She's obviously, I mean, this crush she's got on Donald Trump is ridiculous. She just can't let it go. I mean, one thing fails, go to the next. Next thing fails, go to the next. Let it go, you know? It might be best for her to just walk away from this thing before she gets caught with her hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah, you're right.
She may have set this thing up, and it may fall back on her.
You know, for some reason, with all of the finger pointing at Trump for his speech on January the 6th.
Why were the front doors left open?
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about the outside return. What is that?
I didn't know they were.
Those were open. Those never got broken. They were open.
Really?
Yes.
Nobody went
they
in?
Were unlocked.
So people went in that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, if you know that the Trump rally is right down the street and they're going to march on the Capitol,
yeah,
wouldn't you shut it down?
I think I'd lock the door.
Yeah.
I think I'd lock
it. I mean, hell, around town here, when we had the problems here with the BLM going on, we had businesses, we had Countryside Mall shut the doors at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday.
I want you to get this visual. Nancy Pelosi, after the State of the Union speech of Trump's, I forget if it was the last one, I think it was the last State of the Union a year ago, she ripped up.
Right.
She made a point of ripping it.
Yes.
Turned things around. What if Barack Obama had just finished his State of the Union speech, and the white Republican Speaker of the House got up?
Yeah, that would have been racist.
And ripped his speech in front of the cameras. What do you think would have happened in the press? You know,
they would have tore him up.
Okay,
so
she gets away with it, though,
yeah,
doesn't
exactly.
She? There you go.
Yeah.
And I would say that that's as much an outrage and a way of a kind of inducement to make people riot when you're tearing up the State of the Union speech that's just been delivered to you by the president. It's going to the entire country. It's his state of how things are going, and she rips it up.
If you go back and look
at that
clip, you can see when she's tearing up that paper,
I know,
how insanely mad she is. And if I could tell Donald at that point, say, Donald, I want you to turn around, look at Nancy, and just say, class act, Nancy. And that would have pushed her over the edge. She would have done something like thrown the paper at him or something. No, she would have.
Well, I told you earlier what I would have done when at the beginning of the speech, had I known what her plan was. You know when you go to hand a copy?
Yeah.
She gets a copy. I would have grabbed her wrist and pulled her over. She'd really go over the edge.
Yeah.
She's standing up there. Well, yeah, I don't know. It would make a good visual.
You could have pushed her button right there.
Yeah, I guess
she'd have
so.
Gone over the edge. She would have. She'd have thrown it at him.
I'd give anything to see that. That would really be something.
You're carried out in shackles.
Oh, God.
Teeth falling out everywhere.
Yes, her teeth are out on the floor. Hey, get my teeth. Get my teeth as they're carrying her out on a stretcher.
And they're chattering.
Don't forget my teeth.
And her teeth are still chattering on the carpet.
All right, enough of this seriousness. Enough. It's time for, you have to get over on the drums now for your penalty, because we're going to do the top 10 lowest minimum wage states. And I went to a great deal of heartburn to get these together for you, so I want you to drum right. Mm-hmm. The last time we did this, you dropped the drumsticks, and I sat there without any background. I need the background.
Well, though, actually, one was broke. I can't drum with one stick, so I had to get another one. Go ahead.
Now, before we go, I got to be honest about this. There are so many states that are tied with the same low minimum wage that the truth is there's really only two numbers here. Okay. You'll see what I mean when we do this, all right? So here we go. These are the top 10 states with the lowest minimum wage. Number 10. Number 10 is actually 19 states.
Okay.
Okay?
Read them all.
They all have the same minimum wage. The minimum wage, by the way, is $7.25 in these states.
Okay.
Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Kansas, Utah, North Dakota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi. So, 19 states have a $7.25 minimum wage. So they obviously made the top 10 because there's only really two states left.
So if the $15 goes through, those people, they're going to get a double.
More than double.
Yeah.
More than double. This is what's so crazy about this whole thing. For the life of me, I can't understand why people don't rise up and vocalize more than they
because
are.
Because those are the ones that have been burned in their brain that, everything's going to be, people going to have more money to spend.
And what do you think the $15 number is based on?
They don't look at it that way.
The $15 an hour is based on nothing.
Right.
It's based on somebody just drawing a line in the sand and saying, we're going to do this. That's all it is. Okay. So that leads us with number one and number two. These are two states that actually are lower than that.
Okay, so these now two
I want
separate?
You, yeah, but okay. I want you to tell now.
So number two.
I know you didn't hear all the states.
I did.
Oh, you did?
I've got one in mind still. And you
do?
Didn't hear it. No.
Okay, all right.
Number two?
Number two is tied with number one.
Okay, that's so why I'm going to say New Mexico.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, for number two, it's not New Mexico.
Okay.
New Mexico doesn't make the list, as a matter of fact. New Mexico's is higher than all of these states I've already met. No, that's all right. I think it's a good guess, but it's not. Number two and number one are the same. One is in the south, in the southeast, and one is in the west. Do you want to just for fun, you want to try to guess?
Florida?
I'd guess that, too. It is not. Here we are.
Georgia.
Yes.
Okay.
Georgia, $5.15.
Wow.
And Wyoming, $5.15. So it's $5.15 in those two states. It's $13.25 an hour in Washington, D.C. Can you imagine what a difference that would make? All right. Thank you so much, my friends, for being with us on Freedom Works. Have a wonderful and safe day, and we will be back on Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Bye for now.